And welcome to Rhema Hovum. This is Rabbi Yitz Greenfield, MS Marriage Vow Therapy. I'm so happy that you are joining me today on JRootRadio.com. Today is a live show indeed. Yes, today is, what's today? Today is January 18th, 2018 at 11, 12 a.m. Thank you so much for waiting. We had some technical issues here, but we are now on the air. Okay, like this. Today's show is actually a continuation of last week's show. I want to tell you that thank you all of you for your feedback, by the way. I want to tell you like this, something very interesting, and that is Baruch Hashem, Hod Hashem Ki Tov, Hashem was mezakeh me to be here and to do this show. And Baruch Hashem, I get a lot of feedback. But the most meaningful feedback to me is when you text me that you've employed the skills and tools that we speak about here, and that, Baruch Hashem, you had Siyat Ishmael for it to bring Shalom Bais to your house. That means so much to me, really, because, you know, doing this show, and I've been doing this show, Baruch Hashem, for many years now, it's not easy. It's not easy to come here, the weather, the parking, the preparation, it's not easy. And Baruch Hashem, I do it and I'm happy to do it. But, and I get feedback a lot. Baruch Hashem, really Baruch Hashem. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know. But when people send me texts that this is what they've done. Oh, wow, Rabbi Greenfield, whatever you spoke about today, this is actually, it's so interesting because I've just done that or I'm going to do that. And it worked so amazing. And of course, it's all Siyat Deshmaya. But it empowers me to move on. So I do appreciate all of your feedback all the time. This show, by the way, along with another show, a couple of shows, Mirtz Hashem, is gonna go on the air big time, by the way, within a few weeks, Mirtz Hashem. It's gonna go like on the air. What I mean by that is that it's going to be on, I can't even tell you right now. It's a surprise, I guess. But in any case, be that as it may, it's so nice that you join me today. Thank you for Rhema Hovum. For those of you who are new to the show, what we do here is try to give you skills and tools to empower, to inspire, to bring you to the next level in your Shalom Bayis. How important is that? Well, how about this pasuk for you? Darcheo darkei Noam v'chol nesivoseh ha-shalom. There is nothing. The whole purpose of the Torah, the Rambam brings at the end of Hilchas Chanukah, is what is for Shalom. So, you know, it's pretty important. I think it's pretty important. Don't you think it's pretty important? Okay, so I know I did this last week with you, and I spoke about this, and I'm going to speak to you about this again. And that is, yes, we're going to do a show about, we're going to continue the show we did about negotiation, but it wouldn't do justice for me to speak about negotiation before I speak about being mevater. And I speak about being mevater all the time. What I'm telling you, though, is that the theme, The atmosphere in your home has to be an atmosphere of being mevater. Why? Because that's the way Hashem acts with us. And it's so funny that I do the show on Thursday because, you know, Mondays and Thursdays, we do Tachnon, even the Sfardim, I'm sure they have a different version, a little different version, but we say the same thing, which is what? That Oyseh Chesed Chinam B'chol Davador, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are we asking Hashem for? We're asking Hashem for Chesed and Rachamim. Oh, right. Oh, boy. I heard this really beautiful Dvar Torah I want to share with all of you. It's such a beautiful Dvar Torah. You know how we all say Shemoneh Esrei every day, at least three times a day? Ladies might say it less. Mechalkel Chayim B'chesed, Mechayim Meisim B'rachamim Rabim. Did you say that this morning? Of course you said it this morning. Mechalkel Chayim B'chesed, Mechayim Meisim B'rachamim Rabim. Mechalkel Chayim B'chesed, which means you provide us life with chesed, with kindness. Mechaye Mesim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring back the dead people, right? Hashem will bring him back, right? Barachamim Rabim, with a lot of mercy. So what are they? Kindness and a lot of mercy? Point is like this, Hashem has so much chesed. Like, Baruch Hashem, Hod Hashem Ki Tov Kilam Chal. Yesterday was Rosh Chodesh. Thank you, Hashem. Hashem, you have so much chesed. Hashem, you have so much mercy on us. Hashem, you are amazing. We love you, Hashem. You have so much rachamim and chesed. But you know what? Hashem gave us life. That was mechalkel chayim bechesed. That was chesed. That was kindness. Hashem didn't have to give us life. Hashem took a neshama, and Hashem created the neshama, and then took this innocent neshama and gave us life. That's chesed. But you know what? When Hashem gives us this neshama, unfortunately in Olam Hazeh, we take that neshama, which is us, basically, and who doesn't do averis, right? Well, even the most minor averis, people do averis, right? Lashon hara, rechilis, not enough kibbut aim, maybe not enough limud Torah, you know? And we bring back the neshama not as pure and holy as when it was sent down. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? And I'm going to bring it back. And that's Mechayim Esim Berachamim Rabim, with a lot of rachamim. And once we realize how much rachmanus, how much mercy Hashem has on us, that's when we can start going to the next part of Shemoneh Esrei, which is the Tachnunim, which is asking Hashem to forgive us, to bring us back to Him, to bless us, to all the brachas of Shemoneh Esrei that we say, asking Hashem for this, for that, for the other thing. And then, you know how we sort of end off? Modem. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you. Thank you. And once we thank Hashem, then we can ask again. That sort of like rebuilds the cycle. My point to you, ladies and gentlemen, is that let's not be hypocrites. Let's not, on one hand, ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu for chesed chinam, which means, Hashem, I don't deserve it, but do it for me anyways. Hashem, you're right, I'm not a good person, but do it for me anyways. That's what Tachlon is all about. I mean, read your Tachlon today. Think of what you're saying. The Tachlon you just said this morning, what is that? It's all about chesed chinam, chesed chinam, chesed verachamim, chesed verachamim, chesed verachamim. Hashem, please have mercy, please have mercy. And then what? You're going to go home, and your wife annoys you, and you know what? You're going to lash out at her. Like, hello? You're asking for chesed chinam, but when it comes to your home, you're not giving your wife chesed chinam. You're asking for chesed chinam. When it comes to your home, you're not giving your husband chesed chinam. So he's a bear. So you can't let go because he's being disgusting. So you know what? How come you're being disgusting? I'm going to fight with you because I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this type of treatment. And because I don't deserve this type of treatment, I am going to lash back at you. So let's get into a fight. First of all, you're not solving the problem. You're not solving anything. That's number one. Number two, besides the fact that you're not solving the problem, number two, the other issue is that you're not being like Hashem. You're not being like Hashem. Just let it go. You're right, it's not fair, but let it go. Hashem does that to us. Let it go. Now, obviously, if it gets to a point where you cannot continue, you just cannot function in the marriage. You cannot function in the marriage. And that's what we spoke about last time. That what? That sometimes, excuse me, sometimes you can't function in the marriage. I usually have the thing shut off. I don't know why it's on. I'm sorry. There we go. Sometimes you can't function in the marriage. Those are the times that you can negotiate. But a lot of people thinking, oh, okay, yeah, negotiate. I can negotiate whenever I want. No. You're not negotiating. You're fighting. And you're criticizing and you're attacking, all because your husband did it. It's because your husband did it, now you're doing it. Or it's not fair, or you need something. So you're pursuing him. Or gentlemen, you too. Instead of letting things go, you're also fighting, attacking, criticizing, and you're trying to be nice, but you're not being nice. So what's happening is it's causing machlokas. So what I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, is that be like Hashem. Let it go. It'll work out. Let it go. Are there times you have to negotiate? Yes, there are times. But you know how often it should be? I would say it'd be like 2-5% of all your communication in your home. Literally, 2-5%. That's the time you should negotiate. Not fight, but negotiate. Let's just go over a couple of basics about negotiation. We spoke about this last week, but for those of you who didn't hear the class last week, let's talk about that. That's number one. Number one is what? Let's find it. Okay, here we go. Number one. And that is, you're definitely going to cause distance between you and your spouse. If you're going to negotiate, if you're going to come want to give mussar, if you want to say how what your, you know, the pirates that have affected you in your relationship, pet peeves, insults, requests, attention, what was the other one? We have Torah, expectations. You're upset. You are upset at your husband. You are upset at your wife, and you want to talk to them about it now. Let's make an issue out of it. Well, it's going to cause distance between you and your spouse, and you're going to have to repair that distance. That's number one. Number two, there's a 50% chance that you're going to cause your spouse to put on his angry hats, the A from the hats, and there will be an explosion. That's why I say there's only two times to ever consider entering the fire. Number one, if it's an atom bomb, means that you've already tried to take off your hat, you're giving yourself the hour, you followed all the previous steps, but you will still feel so belittled and betrayed by your spouse, you simply cannot act normal towards him or her anymore. That's number one, the one condition, number one that you might want to negotiate. Number two, toxic pattern. The what? You've already tried taking off your hats. You're giving yourself the hour. You followed all my steps. But you are certain that this is a toxic pattern, that it's already happened in the past and it's going to happen again. And you know, in a certain sense, you can let it go right now. But you're at your wit's end. It's going to happen again. You're not going to be able to do it. Now, you know, when I say this, a lot of you think, oh, yeah, I know. Okay, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's going to happen again, and that's going to happen again, and the other thing is going to happen again. And a lot of these things are not going to happen again. Even though you think they are, if you think about it deeply, the scenario hardly comes up. It hardly comes up. How often do you have a wedding? How often do you have a bar mitzvah? And I'm talking about you're making a wedding or making a bar mitzvah. How often do you find yourself in this person's house and this weather and this whatever it is? It's going to happen again? It's not going to happen again because these things don't happen. So just let it go. Just let it go. Aisei chesed chinam. Be like Hashem. Let it go. I'm talking about when you know for sure it's going to happen again because this is a routine. We do this every day or once a week and I always get upset at him. And I'm letting go. I'm letting go. I'm letting go. But I can't anymore because I'm going to lose it. I don't want to lose it. Okay. Maybe it's time to negotiate. Or there's been a barrage of hurt for the past several days. Your husband's been attacking you, criticizing you, belittling you, and you just like you just like get away from me, you know? Or your wife, you feel like I don't want to talk to you now. I feel so distant from you, and you tried everything, but you find yourself being cold to your husband or to your wife, or you find yourself, and I hate to say this word, the R word. Resentful. You find yourself resentful to your husband or to your wife. So that's the other thing. Okay, so what are we saying? What are we saying, ladies and gentlemen? What we're saying is that there are preliminary steps. I'm not going over it again. I'm sorry, because we don't have time. We've done most of the preliminary steps. I have a whole series of steps. So, yeah, it's going to be in the workshop, but let's go over the last two. The last two are as follows. Number one, like this. Well, it's not number one. Number seven, are you willing to verbalize a possible defense for his action or for her action? Meaning, are you able to start the conversation, the negotiation is going to have to start in a way like, it's possible you didn't realize how hurtful it was. But when you embarrassed me in front of my sister, I was just floored. Now, why are you even bringing this up? Because it was an atom bomb and you just can't get over it. It was just so embarrassing. Like you wanted to like dig a grave right there and then. Or gentlemen, your wife, chas v'shalom, does something which is so hurtful to you, so hurtful. And do you listen to what I'm saying? This word hurtful is so important because you know what happens? What happens is we get angry. And, you know, our brain plays tricks with us. Are you listening to me? Because this is very important. Our brain plays tricks with us and doesn't want us to take the vulnerable position. Our brain does not want us to, like, admit, take accountability for our hurt. This is such an important piece here, what I'm saying now. Such an important piece. And that is that our autopilot, instead of taking accountability, like, wow, I'm hurt right now. That was so hurtful. Instead, it becomes, I'm angry right now. I am so angry at you because you're a bad person. And the problem with this cloud, this anger cloud, is that it's toxic. And if you can't work with anger, it just, you can't work with it. You know, certain things you could work with, you just can't work with it. If you're like, say, baking a cake or something, and you want to use a certain replacement, you can't do this. You can't, if you need to blend something, you can't put it in a different type of machine. You can't use a toaster to blend something. It doesn't work. Anger doesn't work. You can't work with anger. You could work with hurt, but you can't work with anger. You hear what I'm saying? This is very important. So in negotiation, when you're negotiating, you have to be able to switch from anger to hurt. And once you switch from anger to hurt, then you can defend your spouse before you actually present your hurt. Because what's going to happen in the negotiation process, step one is going to be for you to defend your spouse. We're going to talk about this in a second. You're going to have to be able to defend. As I said, if you have a case coming to court, the court case never starts, as Rabbi Twersky's word, it will never start before the prosecutor and the defendant, the lawyer, okay, the prosecutor and the lawyer are both there. So you can't, same way you can't start a case like without that. Similarly, in your house with your husband, with your wife, you don't want to negotiate with your husband or with your wife. You don't want to bring something up unless you could defend them. This is so important. And I know that, you know, a lot of people listen to this and, yeah, I heard that part. No, that's not heard that part. This is so important. This is pivotal what I'm saying right now. And that is that you're going to have to start the conversation by saying it's possible you didn't realize how hurtful it was to me, or it's possible that you didn't realize some sort of defense. And the defense is going to have, we're going to be talking about soon how the defense is generally based on the reaction of your spouse if you would shoot it to him straight or shoot it to her straight. So you're going to have to start defending. And if you cannot defend, somehow, let's say I would hire you as a lawyer for your spouse. For whatever had just happened, he put his fingers into the salad bowl again and disgusts you. So now you're the lawyer. You're the lawyer of your spouse right now, okay? Or your wife, whatever she did, you asked her a million times. The refrigerator, this is your pet peeve. You said to her, please don't leave all this leftover food. It smells, the refrigerator is smelling already when I'm opening the refrigerator. And you asked her again and again. And now you're like, you're so upset. So I negotiated. Rabbi Greenfield spoke about negotiation. I know this is going to happen again. And this and that. Well, let me ask you, are you ready to defend your spouse? If you were hired as a lawyer to defend your wife, could you do that? If you can't do that, even on a small level, then you're not ready to negotiate. Because you're going to have to start by defending. Because if you don't start by defending, what's going to end up happening, and this is pivotal, and that is, what's going to happen is your spouse is going to feel, this is the way the brain works, your spouse is going to feel like you're telling them they're a bad person. That what you're doing, that first of all, not just what you did is bad, but you're bad. You're bad. And even if you're not saying that, you're saying that. Because that's really why criticism hurts so much. Because it's sort of like it's ripping. It's ripping at the person's core and saying, you're not a good person, you're a bad person. And the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us is in an emistic way. We're not bad people. We're good people, right? So when someone tells us that we're bad, it hurts. It hurts a lot. And our essence is good. Our neshama is good. I'm saying this is because no matter whatever happened, our essence is good. And nobody wants to feel that they're bad. That's why you have to be willing to say, that's number seven, willing to start the conversation by saying it's possible you didn't realize it, maybe you weren't thinking, and to defend your spouse before you negotiate. And I can tell you, if you don't do this, and if you're not in the state of mind to do this, your negotiations will go down the drain. It's going to become a big fight. So that's why this is so important. Number eight, are you willing to bring up only one issue as opposed to all of them? You know, sometimes what happens is we're mevater, I'm mevater, I'm mevater, I'm mevater. But then we start hitting overload. We're just being mevater too much because it's the hurt and the attacking and he's not there for me. And it'll spend quality time. And it just doesn't end. So what happens is we go on overload. And then it's like that second piece that I was telling you before where I just feel a lot of resentment towards you. Because it's one thing after the other. So I feel a lot of resentment. And then you realize, okay, I got to negotiate. I got to talk about some of the stuff over here. And you know what happens? What happens is that you feel like, okay, let me talk about this, talk about that, talk about the other thing. I'm telling you, it's not going to work. Bring up one issue at a time. When I say at a time, I'm talking about per conversation. And the next conversation should not happen for a while. And you're going to have to let go. But think about the biggest thing right now that's bothering you that you just cannot continue because it's bothering you so much. And you have to be able to bring that one issue at a time. If you're going to bring up too many issues, even more than one issue, I'm telling you, chances are you take that 50% chance of it not working out, you're raising it to 60, 70, maybe even 80. Don't bring up too many things. People can't handle it. I'm telling you, you can't handle it that either. You was listening to me right now. You can't handle if your husband or your wife would come to you and tell you all these terrible things that you're doing. No one can handle that, okay? That's next. All right. Now we are coming to the actual hands-on piece of negotiating. And I want to remind you that what I'm ever telling you right now, this has to be used only in a minimal basis because there's a lot of ramifications and risks involved with what I'm talking about right now. But I understand that sometimes it has to be done. So this is number one. Number one is you have to start, like I said before, by when you're talking to your spouse. When you're talking to your spouse. And remember, you find a good time to talk to them. You didn't just talk to them. You need the other pieces that we spoke about before. It's a good time. You worked it out. Whatever it is, the best time possible. You must start the conversation in a way where you are acting as your spouse's attorney. You hear me? You have to start the conversation by acting as your spouse's attorney and telling your spouse, defending your spouse. It's possible you didn't realize how hurtful it was. Maybe you didn't realize it. I know you were in a rush this morning. I know how hard it is for you to come on time. I know you had a hard day. These are intros you must include in the negotiation process. You must. Because what happens if you don't do this is the message you're sending your spouse is that he's bad or she's bad. And even though you're not, I'm just talking about this issue. I'm not telling you he's bad. I'm telling you, that's the message. And for those of you who have spouses with lower self-esteems, you know who you are. And I want to tell you, a lot of people today have low self-esteem. A lot. I can't say how many. But a lot of people don't feel good about themselves. For whatever reason it is. I don't want to blame parents, but it could be so many. It could be Rebbeim. It could be parents. It could be childhood. It could be just life, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided the best thing in life is for them. But if your spouse has that low sense of self-esteem, the conversation always has to start by, it's possible you didn't realize, maybe you were in a rush this morning, etc. Okay? That's important. And not like in a like sly way, oh, I'm sure there's a good reason. And as I'm saying this to you, I'm so happy you're listening to me, by the way. As I'm saying this to you, I want you to know that tone is also very important. If you're going to be like, maybe you didn't realize how hurtful it was, but blah, 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 blah. I'm telling you, that can also kill it. Now, I understand that sometimes the tone is not going to be perfect. I understand that. And you got to be careful with tone. I'm talking especially to the ladies, because you have, generally, there are many men who are exceptions to this rule. I wouldn't say most men. And I'm sorry, yeah, I'm stereotyping right now because I'm just telling you based on what I've seen. And in Baruch Hashem, I've been exposed to a lot of couples. And that is that it seems to me that women definitely have a much more keen emotional radar than men do. And you know, this is actually brought down in the Gemara. You know what I'm saying? Isha Makir Baruchel, that a woman knows her guests. It's a certain emotional radar, okay? There are exceptional men. I'm not saying that. But the what? They have an emotional radar. So if you hear your husband, he's got this tone thing going on. He's got the tone thing, right? He's giving you attitude. So even if he's being nice to you, he's giving you attitude. Ladies, if he's doing it the right way, can you let it go? Can you please let it go? Remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu does this to us? Let it go. He's saying it the right way. But men who are listening to me, try to tone it down. Tone it down. Try to speak from a loving way. I know that it's not possible to project love. I shouldn't say not possible. It's almost impossible to project love when you're upset at your spouse. And ladies, you have to realize this. Men too, but especially ladies. If your husband is upset, it doesn't mean he doesn't love you anymore. But it means that right now, he's very hurt. That hurt is playing itself out in anger. He's not saying the nasty things that he used to say to you anymore. He's not. He's following my steps. He's actually defending you right now. And he's saying to you, it's possible you didn't realize how hurtful it was. What you just said is so hurtful to me. What you said is so hurtful. And maybe it's coming out in like a tough type of way, but let it go. Let it go. Men, try for it not to come in a tough way. If you can reach the apex and say it in a loving way, oh, wow. Oh, wow, what you're doing. Maybe you didn't realize it, but it was very embarrassing. Maybe you didn't realize it for me. When you, I know you were in a rush this morning. I know how hard it is for you, etc., etc., etc. So let's go on. The first piece is defending. The next piece is talking. You know, in the world of therapy, it's called the I position. You know, call it what you want. But I want to tell you that it's so important to take accountability for your feelings. Take ownership on your feelings before judging your spouse. Don't judge. Automatically, anger leads to judging. You're horrible. It's disgusting. Oh, very nice. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Being sarcastic and all the things that people do, right? That we spoke about before. And that is what? And that's the sarcasm. Oh, yeah, very nice, very nice. Or belittling you, disgusting. Or feel my pain. How would you like it if I would do this to you? These types of things. But instead of doing that, instead of like, you know, which a lot of you are doing in your homes, which is the toxic reaction when you're upset. The toxic reaction when you're upset are the following. And that is, number one, sarcasm. Sure, it's very normal for husbands to eat breakfast and leave the mess for their wives to clean up. Very nice, very nice. Yeah, very nice, very nice. Sarcasm, unfortunately, exists in many homes. Question, criticism. Can I ask you a question? Do you think it's normal for like a husband to drink like directly milk from the bottle? I'm asking you, like, do you know other husbands who do this? Do you really think that normal husbands eat breakfast and just leave it for their wives to clean up after themselves? That's question, criticism. That's what it is. Or belittling. You're just like your father. You're just like a big fat slob. Or gentlemen doing the same thing to your wives. Can I ask you a question? Like, do you think it's normal, like, that refrigerators should, like, hold 90% of old items? And when I open up the refrigerator, you think that's normal? Like, how many other wives do you know who do this? Or sarcasm. Oh, very good. Let me eat this piece of chicken. Oh, it actually is 3 weeks old. Maybe I can't eat it. Sarcasm. That's just, you know, doesn't work. It doesn't work. So you know what you should do? You should let it go. You should be mevater. But if you can't be mevater because of what we said before, the 2-5% of times that you can't be mevater, in that case, the way you have to say is as follows. And that is, I know how busy you are, but if there's any way to, throw out the old things, that would make me very happy. Okay. I know how busy you are. I know how busy you are with the family and the cleaning up the house and the laundry and everything that you do. That's it. Don't make a big deal out of it. So that's that piece of it. But if we're talking about hurt, and this is what I'm talking about right now, by the way, I'm talking about hurt. This is a big, important piece. And so pretty much what I'm talking about right now are really not the pet peeves. I'm talking about more the insults when you feel insulted by your husband, by your wife, when they're attacking you, etc. You know, I'm talking about these types of things where it's like it hurt you. And that's when you have to, you know, take ownership of your hurt and tell your husband and tell your wife, you know, it's possible you didn't realize how hurtful it was. But when you said that in front of my sister, I felt like I was blown away. That's different than you were really disgusting. I don't want to talk to you. How dare you? you know, you're acting like your mother, like your father, and all the other, you know, words that are coming from anger as opposed to coming from hurt. The point here, ladies and gentlemen, is to remember, it's hurt. It's not anger. Your anger is just a projection of your hurt. That's what it is. And if you can take ownership on that, then you can negotiate. You cannot do this immediately by the impasse. You hear me? It cannot happen right away. Right away when something happened, you can't be like, oh yeah, I'm going to negotiate. No, you're just going to keep quiet. Just going to keep quiet. It's like someone sent me this text. I thought it was so cute. This guy goes to the doctor. And he says, the doctor, that what does he do with his wife's stress? He just can't take it anymore and he gets into big fights. And what should he do? So the doctor says to him, you know what? I have special medicine. This is what you do. Very simple. Every time your wife is stressed and every time there's something going on with her, take some water and drink water. But don't drink all the water. Leave a little water in your mouth and swish the water around in your mouth back and forth and back and forth. And do that for a while. And if you do that for a while, you'll see that all your problems are going to go away. So the guy does it, and he does the swishing, and it goes away. And he's thinking to himself, wow, this doctor is unbelievable. All I have to do is drink water and swish it around. And after I swish it around, there's no more problem with my wife. And he goes back to the doctor and says, doctor, how did that work? Is something about the swishing with my mouth? Is some sort of like psychological effect that I'm showing her something or whatever it is? And the doctor says, no. What you don't realize is that when you're swishing the water, it prevents you from talking to her and responding to her and reacting to her. And that's really what it is. It's just about siyag lechachma shtika and not saying anything. And that's what has to happen in the beginning of the impasse. When you are upset, when you're hurt, just don't say anything. Just move on and say, Hashem, this is really not right, but you know what? You have chesed chinam with me, I'm going to have chesed chinam with my husband and with my wife, and please bless me. And that's the way to do it. And everybody has these challenges. And then, if you need to negotiate, then later on, when you've calmed down, you can say, possibly you didn't realize how hurtful it was. Maybe you didn't realize, but it was very embarrassing for me. I know you were in a rush this morning, but when you didn't leave me money this morning, it made my day very difficult. I know how hard it is for you to come home on time, but when you didn't come home last night, it made me feel like I'm just not your priority, etc., etc., etc. I know you had a hard day, but when you come home and just complain instead of connecting to me, that makes me feel horrible. For those wives who have husbands who just don't stop complaining. But then, if you're going to say these types of things, and you're going to do that, you know, practical, ladies, I know you're practical. So the practical, think about a practical solution. What's the practical solution for this? The practical solution is, you can say, I know you have a hard day, but when you come home and just complain instead of connecting to me, that makes me feel horrible. So if you come home and we could spend 5-10 minutes, you could tell me about your day, then I can tell you a little bit about my day, or you can ask me about my day, that would make me very happy. So you're giving your husband a fix. I'm not just telling you how I feel, but I'm giving you an opportunity to fix it. I'm giving you an opportunity to fix it. And that's, you know, ladies, I think generally with these, you'll be fine if it just changes around and doesn't happen again. Of course, sometimes it was very hurtful. You want an apology. I'm not saying that. And you'll wait for the apology and hopefully your husband is going to apologize. And I'm telling you, by the way, I don't want you to think that generally husbands apologize when they hear this, because they're going to defend themselves. We're going to talk about that soon. But even if he says to you, if I would have known that would have done, I'm sorry, I would not have done that. I would not have forgotten. I would have tried to remember, or next time I'll try to remember and do this, that, the other thing. So yes, there's two pieces of this. Sometimes you do want an apology. You just, ladies, I want to tell you something. You know, I know it's not really about the apology. You just don't want it to happen again. Men, I know sometimes you want more apologies. It's funny because I see the men want more apologies than this. Okay, fine. And we'll talk soon about, you know, how the apology comes, etc. But if it's a practical issue, give him a fix for next time. Tell him next time, if we can just A, B, C, D, F, G, that would make me very happy. Now, gentlemen, I'm talking mostly to you right now as far as practical issues. This is important. And that is like this. Gentlemen, don't make a big deal out of it. Ladies too, but I'm talking more to the men now. Don't make a big deal out of it. Because if you're going to make it a big deal, it's going to become hurtful. So you can say to your husband, or you can say to your, it's a silly thing. it's a silly thing, but it's a silly thing. But if you could just not chew gum around me, that would make me very happy. I'm this crazy thing. It's a silly thing, but it's a silly thing, and I don't know why I'm sensitive to it. But if you could just not chew gum around me, that would be great. If for whatever reason it is, I don't know what bothers you, that your wife chews gum around you or your husband chews gum around you. It's a silly thing, but if you could try not to drink from the orange juice bottle, that would be great. Do you notice how now I switched from it's possible you didn't realize how hurtful it was and all that, because now I'm not talking about hurt anymore. We're not talking now anymore about something that really was very hurtful for you, but something that just bothers you and makes you crazy, whether it's a pet peeve that your husband does or your wife does, whether it's a request you keep on asking over and over and over again, and listen, maybe it's, okay, I wouldn't say necessarily Torah, because those are dangerous. You don't necessarily want to bring up a Torah issue. It's a whole different world. But what I will tell you is that if it's a practical issue, then you could say, it's a silly thing, but if you cannot drink from the orange juice bottle, that would be great. And don't enter the conflict. Because if you make this into a big issue, then your husband's going to say, what's the big deal? This is my house. Why can't I just drink from the orange juice bottle? What's the big deal? This is my house. Why can't I just chew gum in front of you? Your wife might say. So don't make a big deal out of it. Because if you're making a big deal out of it, again, the core issue here is you're projecting that you are bad. You're not normal. You have issues. You have issues. And that's what your husband's hearing. And that's what your wife is hearing. Regardless of what you're saying. Do you hear this? Regardless of what you're saying. Especially if they have a low sense of self-esteem. And they're going to hear other things. And then you're going to get into fight. I never said that about you. What? And you say, what, you think I'm not normal? I didn't say you're not normal. You see, and it becomes a whole fight. I never said that. Yes, you did. I never said it. Yes, you did. And it's like you're blowing things up. Yeah, everybody blows things up. Good morning. Are you married? Oh, yeah. Your husband's going to blow things up. Your wife's going to blow things up. You know why? Because you're in a system. You're in a deep attachment. You guys are very, very connected. You're relying on each other for emotional support, for a feeling of stability, for all sorts of emotional needs. So yeah, you're going to be sensitive to each other and you're going to blow things up. So instead of getting into a fight and saying, I never said that, where's the tape recorder, et cetera, just let it go. Don't make a big issue out of it and move on. Okay, concession. If you can find an area genuinely to concede, that'll mother says okay. Now, let's talk for a second about you hearing this from your spouse, meaning your spouse is coming over to you, right? And the way we split this up again, it was two into two. We said there's hurt and there's practical behavioral stuff, right? When it comes to hurt, I told you how to negotiate. I said to you, you first have to, because you're very hurt right now, right? It's not a practical thing. It's not about drinking from the orange juice. I'm so hurt now with what you did. So you have to first defend your spouse. Possibly you didn't realize how hurtful it was. Maybe you didn't realize it this morning. Maybe you were in a rush this morning. I know how hard it is for you to come home. I know how busy you are making money. I know how, and even if you have to embellish a little bit, it's fine. I know how busy you are with the kids. I know you never stop. Start like that, and then you can express your hurt. You didn't realize how hurtful it was for me when you embarrassed me in front of my sister. You didn't realize how difficult it made my day when I didn't have the money this morning, you told me last night. You didn't realize that when I came home last night and I did not feel like your priority. I just did not feel like your priority. And then the next piece is, if next time you could whatever, I'd really appreciate it. Okay? If next time you could whatever, I'd really appreciate it. And your husband or your wife may or might not apologize, but they got the message and it's not going to happen again. And that's the most important thing. Then there's practical issues. Practical issues, it's a silly thing, but if you could try not to drink from the orange juice bottle. It's a silly thing. I don't know why I'm sensitive, but if you could just not chew gum around me, I'd really appreciate it. Why? What's wrong with chewing gum? No, I don't know. It's just me. Don't make a big issue out of it. Practical issues, don't make a big issue out of it. Just like, yeah. Derech agav. What if you are hearing this from your husband? What if you are hearing this from your spouse? You hear this. And even though they're trying to do it really in a really good way, you still feel blamed. You feel hurt. You don't like it, you know? Okay. So you try to control yourself. What do you do? So a couple of things. First of all, concession. If you can find an area to genuinely concede, that will multiply the chances of you getting out with only a slight burn. You hear me? One area. This is so hard what I'm telling you right now. This is like mamash davoda in marriage. To hear the criticism from your husband or from your wife. And they're trying to be nice about it and they're doing it the right way. And Baruch Hashem, because it used to be much worse, they used to actually belittle me or sarcastic or make fun of me or whatever it is, attack me. But now they're being nice, but I still feel hurt, you know, the way they're talking. They're criticizing me, they're blaming me. I don't feel comfortable with this. But if you can find that one thing and say, you know, you're right, I wasn't thinking of that. It's true, my initial reaction was a bit harsh. I'm telling you, that can really, really, really help. Not only can it help, but it also can help in a situation where it becomes a fight. You see, I know I'm talking to you about negotiation. I know. And everything I'm telling you in a certain way is scripted. But many times, these negotiation methods lead to fights. When anybody fights, it becomes like back and forth, a tit for tat. You did, you didn't, you're disgusting, and it becomes worse and worse. A trick to get out of it, other than that, this is not a good time to talk about this, is you're right, I wasn't thinking of that. It's true, my initial reaction was bad. Find somewhere where you can concede. The next time you try to negotiate with your husband, with your wife, you try to, and you try to do it right, and then it becomes into a big fight. Chas v'shalom, chas v'chalila. It shouldn't happen. Try to find that one area where you were maybe a little bit wrong and concede. That could turn everything around. Let's talk about the pitfalls in negotiation. Let's talk about how, despite the fact that I'm giving you what I feel is very, very powerful skills and tools in negotiation, for us to come to an understanding that negotiation is risky. It's a minefield. It's very, very risky. That's why I always say stay away from negotiation. Just focus on being mavater. And that's like this. And if this happens to you, I'm telling you this right now, so you don't think like, wow, my husband's a beast. Wow, my wife's a Rasha. That's like this. You're going to try to say the right thing. You're defending them and everything. And then, you know what you're going to hear from your spouse? You know what your problem is? You want to control me. And you're thinking to yourself, I don't believe this. I was so nice about it. I didn't make a deal out of it. When it happened, I let it go. The only reason I'm talking about it because I know I'm not going to be able to like whatever. And your wife or your husband says, you know what your problem is? You want to control me. And you're blown away. You're just blown away. Like, I'm being so nice to you, and this is what you have to say? I hate your guts. That's how you're going to feel. Number two, another pitfall in negotiation. You're going to hear from your spouse, you know the problem with you is? The problem with you is, you might hear this from your husbands. The problem is that I can never make you happy. That's your problem. You always complain. I can never make you happy. And you're working on yourself and you're not complaining. You're trying to be that good wife. You're trying to surrender. You're trying to like let things go. But this you can't let go. And that's why you brought it up. And he's telling you again that he can never make you happy. Or the truth is you only care about yourself. Can you imagine? This is what your spouse is saying after you're being so nice. Or chas v'shalom. You're acting like your spouse tells you you're acting like your father. You're acting like your mother. I don't know why you're being so sensitive. Here's another big one, which I hear all the time. I don't know why you're being so sensitive. And by the way, I want to talk to the perpetrators of this comment. I don't know why you're being so sensitive. You know, I hate to say this, but I don't mean this in a bad way. But have you taken sensitivity 101, 102, and 103 that you became like this expert in sensitivity and you know all about sensitivity? The reason I'm saying this is because you have no idea how your spouse's brain is in this present moment. And I could I can tell you for sure. I know this is sounding tough. And I don't mean to be tough. But I can tell you for sure, if you were in her brain, you would act the same way, if not worse. If you were in his brain, you would act the same way, if not worse. Telling someone, I don't know why you are being so sensitive, is judging them. That's really what it is. It's judging them. And it's blaming them. And it's telling them, I would not be so sensitive. So the fact that you're so sensitive means there's something wrong with you. And you made a bad bechira choice by being so sensitive. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. Because you know why your wife is being so sensitive? Because that's her makeup. That's what she's feeling right now. She cannot control her emotions. This is the way. It wouldn't bother you, but it's bothering her. You know why your husband's being so sensitive? Because this is his makeup. And you don't know his childhood. You don't know his day. You don't know his pressures. You don't know his brain. It's completely wired differently. So we have to understand that telling someone you're being so sensitive, well, I don't understand why you're being so sensitive. That's like mamish, worse than din, because it's not even din, it's beyond din. It's basically judging someone of, you have no idea. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what the other head. But what I'm saying to you, on the other hand, is, yes, sometimes spouses react like this. I don't understand why you're being so sensitive. Or maybe your spouse is going to be nasty or rude in a different way. I want to tell you, don't take him seriously. Because I told you from the beginning in the negotiation process, when you are going to negotiate with your spouse, there's an incredible big chance that you're going to put on his hat. And what part of the hats am I talking about? I'm talking about the A, the angry. You just put on his hat. He's not going to respond to you with his hats on in a way, oh, I'm so sorry, darling. I will never do that again for you. He's angry now. If he's angry, he's going to say stupid and silly things that's coming from anger. Now, that anger is really hurt. We know the anger is really hurt, and he's projecting it out in anger because this is the way maybe he saw his parents project it, but or some other people project it. But you know what? I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, don't take it seriously. Don't take it seriously, because you're going to get into a tit-for-tat. And he's going to say to you, I don't understand why you're being so sensitive. I'm being sensitive? You're the sensitive one, and now you guys have to do a big fight. You hear? Or he's going to say to you something like, the problem with you is I can never make you happy. And you're like, you can never make me happy? I don't believe what you're saying. I'm constantly complimenting and appreciating you. Why are you saying that? And now you've been in a big fight. Just know, if your husband or your wife, well, you try to negotiate so nicely, you were so sweet about it. You were so sweet about it. And now your husband and your wife is like throwing daggers at you. You put on their hats. Just. I know you don't mean it, but that was a very hurtful comment. I think we'll have to discuss this later. That's it. I know you don't mean it, but you know, this is getting very hurtful. I think we're going to have to, let's just make up to discuss this later. That's it. That's it. You want to try to continue discussing it? You can try. But I'm telling you right now, you are probably not going to be successful because you just put on his hats or her hats. You can try. But you're probably not going to be successful. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we also have to talk about post-negotiation, which is very important. And also the reaction to negotiation we have to talk about a little bit more. And we have to talk about if you find yourself in a disagreement. And in fact, we have so much to talk about. This is all going to be in the workshop. What I'm telling you right now is that we ran out of time. If you are listening to me today, you can always send me some feedback. Always great to hear from you. 917-397-2841. This has been Rabbi Yitzchak Greenfield. 917-397-2841. 917-397-2841. Thank you for listening. Have an amazing, connecting, inspiring, wonderful week. Thank you very much.